Hello, hello.
Hey.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I am good. I think that this story is wild. And I, when I was doing the research, was researching for like the February sequence. And then I realized that like when this is going to be released, it's March.
Oh my God, yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
That is crazy.
Like, it's like March in 2 days.
Yeah.
So then I had to do research for the March sequence.
Wow.
So we're going to be talking about a little paranormal story from America.
Oh, yeah.
Which is really fun and fresh because we know that we're haunted. But this one I think is going to be really interesting because I found a bunch of firsthand accounts. Like there was a page on one of the websites that was like all of these people could like submit their paranormal experiences.
Oh.
And I'm going to read a few. After I tell you the history of the place and everything. But I found this really fun to read through. So yeah. I'm excited. But yeah, without further ado, let's get right into it. I'm Sonia.
I'm Maddie.
And welcome to Grimm. Okay, so today I thought we could talk about Schloss Furnaces. I'm not sure if you have you heard of this?
I think, has it been in a Ghost Adventures episode?
I think it has been.
I think I have been.
Oh my God, that's funny. I did read that on, there's like a webpage for Schloss Furnaces, and I was like, Maddie probably knows about this, because oh, it was yeah. like a whole thing dedicated to the Ghost Adventures. Which, you know, vibes, like it's okay. But for everyone who hasn't heard of it, Schloss Furnaces is this national historic landmark in Birmingham, Alabama. And it was open in the late 1800s to like around 1971. And while it was operational, it was a pig iron producing blast furnace. And if you are like me and you don't know what pig iron is, it's like this crude iron intermediate product, and it's produced when you smelt iron in a blast furnace. So basically they were like smelting iron and they were getting this byproduct. And honestly, I don't know why they wanted it. Like, I don't know what the goal of having this product is, because it has really limited applications. It has a really high carbon content, and I think like silica and a couple of other chemicals as well. And it's like really brittle, so like you can't really do anything with it.
Yeah,
I think it's used in making steel.
Oh, okay.
I guess I don't really know. The Wikipedia page is really confusing, and honestly, I didn't have it in me to look more into the chemistry of this iron byproduct, so.
And that's fair.
That's what we're doing, you know? This is about paranormal stories, not about iron.
Exactly.
And carbon. Although, I will say, if someone told me that as a story, I would be horrified. I'd be like, yeah, scary.
Chemistry, yeah.
Chemistry, no. So what I'm gonna do for April Fool's is just gonna be me reciting, like, chemistry or something. But anyway, pig iron was being produced here or something. After the place closed in 1971, it became one of the first industrial sites, I think, in America to be preserved and then restored for public use. And then 10 years later, it was designated as this historic landmark, so 1981. And right now, it's a museum of industry, and they also have a metal arts program, which I think is cool.
Yeah.
And I would actually really like to take a class in metalwork. I feel like that'd be fun.
Yeah, I feel like there's so many hobbies that I want to try. That's like a cool one.
Yeah, like metalworking and glass blowing.
Glass blowing, yeah.
I want to blow glass so bad. I keep on seeing TikToks about it. And like I've gone to like, you know, when we went to like the glass museum and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
There are, like, a few other trips that I've been on where, like, you can, like, try it. Like, you go to, like, a little workshop. Mm-hmm. But I've never, like, I think I was always too scared to, because I was like, it's so hot, like, I'm gonna burn myself. But I really want to, I want to try glass blowing.
We'll do it one of these days.
Yeah, can we actually, like, Like, high key. Can we actually? I really want to.
I went when I was, like, visiting my family, like, when I was small. And I don't think I did much of the process other than just, like, pick out what I wanted in the colors. And it's just a really ugly, like, pink and purple vase. So I need to do it again and redeem myself.
Well, we have to go. I think it's on the list. We got to do it. Because, like, that's so cool. It's so cool.
That is really cool.
Anyway, besides the fact they do metalworking. Anyway, yes, exactly. Also, besides the being a museum and having a metal arts program, they also host concerts and festivals.
Oh, that's really cool.
What is this place?
Yeah.
And then the museum is also free to visit during the operating hours. I think it's Tuesday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m.
Wow.
So you could just go there for free and be haunted.
I think we should go there for free sometime.
I think so. Maybe too.
Not be haunted, but
we could be haunted. I feel like we should have some stories of our own, you know?
That's true.
The wildest thing is that one of the people who submitted like their paranormal experience talked about being at an MCR concert. And being like feeling like a presence there, and I just think that's so funny. Like, could you imagine being on stage as a band and like performing, and then like a ghost is in your vicinity?
Also, just loving like that is the venue for MCR. You know,
I know. Like, if MCR is gonna play anywhere, like it might as well be a restored like iron smelting place.
Yeah,
crazy. I love it. What a vibe. What a vibe. Like, I would go see MCR play there.
Yeah.
I just think it'd be real fun. Anyway, so they do a bunch of stuff, and they keep doing stuff. Fun. In 1881, so before all of this happened, before it was restored, before MCR went to go play their show there, Colonel James Wither Sloss formed his company called the Sloss Furnace Company. And this was like right on the back of being one of the founders of the city of Bingham itself, helping to promote railroad development and participating in the Pratt Coke and Coal Company, which was one of the city's like first manufacturers. Wow. So he really was like in its time to build a furnace.
Yeah.
And then he did. Like, good for him. So he began construction of the first blast furnace in the city on 50 acres of land that was donated by the Elton Land Company for industrial development. And he hired this man called Harry Hargreaves to be the engineer in charge of the construction. And he made two Whitwell-type furnaces that were around 60 feet tall and 18 feet in diameter. So, like, massive.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they were huge. And then the first blast was initiated in April of 1882. When it was finally operational, like, fully operational, the facility produced 24,000 tons of high-quality iron during its first year. Huh? Like, that's crazy.
Yeah.
And then, I don't know if it's, like, because of it or if it's, like, related, but Sloss Iron won bronze medal at the Southern Exposition that was held in 1883 in Kentucky. Mm. So they did quite well at the beginning. Yeah. In 1886, Sloss retired, and he sold the company to this group of investors who basically reorganized it. And then in 1899, it was like rebranded, I guess, as the Sloss Sheffield Steel and Iron Company. And they did quite a bit of redevelopment as well. They installed new blowers in 1902. They installed new boilers in 1906 and 1914. And then in 1927 and 29, they completely rebuilt the place with modern equipment. So, like, quite a bit of renovation and quite a bit of money was put into this place. And then Sloss Sheffield became the second largest seller of pig iron in the district and among the largest in the world. So that's insane.
Yeah.
And then during this period of time, the company built 48 small cottages for workers near the downtown furnace. And this, I think, is important to the story later on. So just keep in mind that this happened.
All right.
In the 50s and 60s, the main problem was air pollution. It was like a town of iron and steel furnaces. Like, there's going to be a fair bit of smog, I think.
Yeah.
But because of that, they put this federal legislature in place. Like, for example, the U.S. Clean Air Act. And that one encouraged closing these older smelting buildings because they were producing, obviously, a lot of, like, air pollution and air pollutants. And it was just bad overall for living, quality of life and stuff. So the company closed down, and they donated the property to the Alabama State Fair. And then after that, there was some back and forth about wanting to close the place down, like keep it open, what should we do, blah, blah, blah. They ended up donating $3.3 million to preserve the site. And that's when they used that to build the Metal Arts Program and the Visitor Center.
Okay.
And then, obviously, after that, Sloss Furnaces became a National Historic Landmark in 1981. And then open to the public as the nation's first and only 20th century blast furnace site preserved in, as a museum. Hmm. And they opened on Labor Day weekend in 1983. So that's just a bit of history of the place itself. Now let's get into the paranormal bits. In the early 1900s, this man called James Wormwood, and his nickname was Slag, which, interesting thing to go by, James Slag Wormwood, and he was the foreman of the graveyard shift. So that was this period of time between sunset and sunrise, and they didn't, like, have it fully operational, but they had a skeleton crew of around 150 workers to keep the furnace going and make sure that, like, nothing went wrong overnight. And if you can imagine, this is Alabama, and even though it's nighttime, it's still the summer. So temperatures throughout the plant, like, you're burning iron, you're melting iron here, and it's summertime. Temperatures throughout this area could reach over 120 degrees Fahrenheit.
Dang.
That's, like, really hot.
Yeah.
Like, heat stroke hot.
Yeah.
And if you can also imagine, it was, you know, you're working the graveyard shift, there's a lack of sleep, there's the heat, there's the low visibility from melting all this iron, and it basically made the furnace a living hell.
Dang.
Like, it was not good. It wasn't the best place to be. And because of that, only the most desperate people would want to work that shift and work there. And these workers were mostly immigrants who recently arrived to the area, and they were forced to live in these cramped housing areas that were located by the furnace site, which I mentioned a little bit ago and told you to remember. It's these, like, 48, like, houses that they built. And I think at the time they were like, oh, it's going to be great. But, you know, the only people living there were these people who were desperate to find work and who literally had no other options.
Yeah.
And in order to work this shift, in order to do this, basically the deal was that they could be forced at any moment to return to work. Like, they didn't really have breaks. They didn't really have time off. It was just, like, really bad working conditions. And Wormwood wanted to impress his bosses. You know, like, he was in charge of the graveyard shift. He was obviously, like, had a fair bit of power, and he would use that power to make his workers take these really dangerous risks. He would force them to speed up production. He would, like, make them work really long hours. He was just not very nice to them. And during his tenure, 47 of the workers lost their lives, which was 10 times more than any other shift in the history of the furnace.
Wow.
So obviously something is happening at night. Like, you can't have 47 people dying throughout this time and not be like, well, there's clearly a problem with either the time of the shift or the person who's managing it. And, like, aside from the 47 people who died, there were countless others who basically lost the ability to work from accidents. Like, if things happened at night and your whole livelihood is, like, your body in terms of, like, using it to, like, move these metal iron things around, like, that's gonna really hurt your living.
Yeah.
There was also apparently, like, a small explosion that left 6 of the workers blind in 1888.
Oh, God.
Like, it wasn't good. It wasn't good. And there's no number for that. It's just kind of like there were countless people, more than 6, who have experienced, like, these little accidents that really just cause you to lose your livelihood. Mm-hmm. And if you're desperate enough to work this shift, like, do you think that these people are going to find some other job to work?
Yeah.
Like, it's just, it wasn't good. In October of 1906, he found himself at the top of Big Alice, which was the highest blast furnace. And he lost his footing and fell into a pool of melted iron ore.
Oh, God.
And that's horrible. Like, yeah. Absolutely horrible. Like, no matter what he did, that's a really scary way to go.
Yeah.
But it was said that his body instantly melted, so maybe it was a peaceful death.
I guess.
A lot of people say that he must have gotten dizzy from the methane gas that was released, but the interesting thing is apparently he had never been to the top of the furnace in all of his years working there, so people got a little bit suspicious as to how he ended up at the top of this furnace. A lot of people thought that the workers just kind of had enough of him. Mm-hmm. And I don't blame them.
Yeah.
47 people died.
Yeah.
More than that were injured. Like, he was doing something wrong.
Yeah.
But despite that, nobody was ever brought to trial. It kind of just stayed that way in the speculation that, weird, something might have happened to him.
Mm-hmm.
But soon after this accident, the graveyard shift was just discontinued. They were like, we're done.
Oh, good.
No more of that. But even though there was no graveyard shift anymore after he died, the workers still complained of this unnatural presence that they felt throughout the worksite. Apparently, in 1926, the night watchman was pushed from behind and told to, quote-unquote, get back to work. He ended up searching the entire area, but found no sign of anyone around.
Horrifying.
Really scary. Then in 1947, 3 of the supervisors were actually reported missing. They turned up later locked in this small boiler room, and they were all unconscious.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
What?
And I have no idea. None of them could explain why they were there. They just said that they were approached by a man whose skin had appeared to be badly burned and who angrily shouted at them to, quote-unquote, push some steel.
Was it locked from the inside or the outside, do you know?
I have no idea. I just know that it was locked.
So weird.
I feel like it would be locked from the outside.
Yeah.
Like, based on the way that it was described.
Especially, I guess a boiler room, too.
Yeah.
I feel like that usually would lock from the
outside,
maybe.
Lock. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. But, like, I couldn't imagine. Like, the only thing you remember is seeing a man who, like, looked burned, who yelled at you to push some steel.
Mm-hmm.
And then you woke up in a boiler room, like, locked in.
And you're just unconscious.
Like, that's horrifying.
Yeah.
In 1971, the night watchman was taking a look around when he, quote, found himself face to face with the most frightening thing he had ever seen, end quote. He described it as an evil half-man, half-demon who tried to push him up the stairs. And he refused to go up the steps, but then the monster began to beat on him with his fists.
Oh, God.
Like, that's horrifying.
Yeah.
That's so scary. And on top of that, like, the medical... he was examined by a medic later who said that he was covered in intense burns.
Oh, interesting.
Like, what happened to him?
Yeah.
Like, that's so scary.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, you know, over the years, like, there are hundreds of reports of paranormal activity. There are these minor things like the steam whistles blowing by themselves. But then there are also, like, sightings, like major sightings, you know, photographs of, like, orbs and mysterious lights. And then the rare occasion when someone is, like, assaulted by this ghost. And the really interesting thing is that most of the reports happen in September and October at night during the hours of the old graveyard shift.
Why September and October?
I have no idea. Maybe it's like the end of the summer.
Yeah.
Like, maybe that's when he died. I have no idea.
Interesting.
But just weird that that a lot of them happen. I mean, like, not, like, weird, because, you know, a lot of paranormal activity happens at night, but just interesting that it's, like, this time period.
Yeah, very, like, specific times, yeah.
I know, it's kind of odd. There are a lot of reports of people investigating this. I think it's quite a big paranormal, like, hotspot to go to. They did a study in 1988, which found nothing of the out of the ordinary, like, physically. But there were two psychics there that said that due to the violent disregard for loss of life, Las Furnaces should be considered a, quote-unquote, location with restless souls, end quote. So, I mean, fair enough. Like, like, if there's any bad energy in an area, it's going to be this one. A few years later, in the year 2000, it was studied again and determined that it had one of the highest amounts of unnatural energy.
Oh, wow.
And again, that makes sense. Like, I just feel like with everything happening here, really, really scary.
Yeah.
A team went by in 2002 and I think has footage of some paranormal activity happening, which is wild. But I feel like this place in particular, a lot of people report having, like, pictures and videos of strange things. And then in 2003, they investigated and again said it was one of, like, the most paranormally active locations. On October 4th, 2002, again, October.
Oh, yeah.
So weird. Josh Thomas was working. He was a crew member at SLOS when he apparently suddenly caught on fire after seeing a quote-unquote strange shape.
Oh, my God.
And he also says that he can't recall exactly what happened, but he also suffered intense burns.
Oh, no.
And on top of that, this attack happened, like, almost exactly on the 32nd anniversary of the Night Watchman attack in 1971.
Wow.
Which, so that also happened in October, like, this happens in October, they say that a lot of the things happen in September and October, like, that's crazy, and it's almost, it's so similar as well in terms of, like, what happened 32 years ago, where, like, you see a strange shape and you have intense burns.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, I just think that's, like, a really weird coincidence.
Yeah.
And then, you know, on top of those paranormal experiences and what people find when they're actually investigating a space, there are also hundreds of paranormal experiences that have been submitted by people who visited the space. And I did talk about this before, and I'll link the, like, page where people can submit their stories and have submitted their stories in the description of the podcast. But there are a few that I thought were interesting that I'm going to read for you now. Starting with the most recent one, it was October 10th, 2019. Again, October.
Oh, yeah?
It's crazy. this is by Rebecca and Robs. And they said, quote, "My husband and I and two of our daughters went to SLOS today, around 1, recorded from time to time with pictures. I've caught a girl humming on the video. Humming is clear with headphones and faint without, as well as groans, psst, shh, and yeah to my husband talking. There was also a point that sounded like a scream. The humming is the best audio recorded while shooting a video, and I'd like to know how often or if others have heard the same. We'll be going back to record more as well," end quote. I just think it's so wild that there are, like, reactions to people talking.
Yeah, true.
Like, that's so crazy to me. It feels like they're just, like, listening in on, like, this tour or whatever.
Yeah.
Fair enough, though. Another person called Kayla said, quote, I'm not a believer in the paranormal. I did, however, attend the haunted walkthrough in October of last year. The walkthrough itself was fun. We went home after. Nothing out of the ordinary, right? The day after, my husband told me that there was a very dark-colored bruise on the back of my arm in the shape of fingerprints.
Oh.
I do not bruise easily. It wasn't there before the walkthrough. I'm still not convinced I had a ghostly encounter, but there's a small part of me that has wondered ever if maybe it could have been. Am I crazy? End quote. I think if there is a bruise on your arm in the shape of fingerprints and you didn't feel someone grab you,
yeah,
seems a little bit paranormal to me.
A little sketchy.
Just a little. Lindsay said, quote, I was there in 2009, heard footsteps even though I was the only person there. It was ice cold in the middle of summer. I had multiple batteries die in my camera. As I was walking out, I had the back of my hair stand up and felt like someone ran their hand through my hair.
Ooh.
When I got home, I looked over the photos. Right before the hair incident, there was a photo with a purple mist in it. That Ooh. Place freaks me out. End quote.
Fair enough.
If I had that happen to me, I would leave.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. For some reason, that's scarier to me than the, like, fingerprint bruise.
Yeah, because that's, like, after the fact, you know? Like, yeah.
Exactly.
Then, yeah.
And you're like, oh, my God, I was in this situation.
Yeah.
Where there was, like, a purple mist. What is that?
Yeah.
I hate it. This is my least favorite account. It's by Aaron, who said, quote, so my wife and I stopped by Sunday with our dog. I wish I could post the pics we took. My dog's face was crazy in all the pics. It doesn't even resemble her. Her eyes are white, facial markings look very strange, and even her mouth was distorted looking. She had been lethargic all day today. I also have several pics of strange orb-like objects all over the site. End quote.
I don't like that.
I hate that.
Yeah.
Like, it's one thing to be haunted, but don't mess with the dogs. Like, what did they ever do to you?
Yeah.
But I just think that's so wild. Like, you know, like, a lot of the times they say that dogs are really good at picking up, like, hints of the paranormal or whatever?
Yeah.
I don't know. I just, it's a lot.
Yeah.
Like, I'm always like, don't, they didn't do anything. Like, they're innocent. They just detect you. Another person called Ariana said, quote, I was going through the first part of the furnace, not the house thing, when I looked to my left into a window and saw a silhouette standing outside the window, not moving at all. I thought it was just a shadow. That's the best way I can explain it. Maybe I was just seeing things, but it was really weird. End quote. Mm-hmm. And I would just like to point out the variety of things that are happening here.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, when you think about a traditional haunting, it's like, oh, the cold spots, and like you feel a presence watching you and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I just think it's so crazy that there's like orbs, like a lot of people talk about the orbs that they see in the pictures, but then there's also like the bruising and the hearing people like react to you.
Mm-hmm.
And then the seeing a silhouette, and I don't know what that all means, but I don't like it. Like, it gives me like, a weird feeling.
Yeah.
Anyway, the last person I have is Corey, who said, quote, I used to work for Sloss, and through the month we saw several things that were just straight up unnatural. One night we unexplainably lost power in most of the woods trail for over an hour, and no one could figure out why. This only happened after a customer taunted and called for slag in my scene.
Oh, no.
There were several times we saw figures moving around through the factory and woods after hours.
Oh.
One night, walking through the tunnels and basement at Sloss, something grabbed my shoulder and pushed me from behind. We also heard on several occasions voices and strange sounds coming from places that were blocked off to the public.
Mm.
I can tell you for sure that Sloss is haunted and is one of the strangest places in possibly the country. It's amazing if you can go out there between midnight and 3 a.m. It's an experience like none other. Just be prepared for what you might see, hear, and experience out there. It's dangerous and terrifying, but wonderful in a creepy kind of way. End quote.
Wow.
And I don't know why you would go there and taunt this ghost.
Yeah.
Why would you do that?
Truly.
That's so stupid. Anyway, I don't condone that. Don't taunt the ghost that could possibly burn you.
Yeah.
Like, that just seems like a stupid thing to do. But anyway, there are so many more, and I was reading through all of them, and I'm like, oh my god, that one is so good, and, like, that one is truly horrifying.
Hmm.
So I would recommend going through the rest of them. They're kind of wild. Like, it's amazing what people experience out there.
Yeah.
Amazing and terrifying, and I don't know how to feel about it. But anyway, that is the story I have for you this week. Do you have any questions, comments, concerns, thoughts on what we just talked about?
No, not really. Just, I guess, for the end there that you said, talking about taunting them, I don't remember the episode very much, but I imagine that's what Zach Bagans was doing the entire time.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Definitely. Like, without a doubt.
Yeah.
He's so wild. Yeah.
Thank you for this episode.
You're so welcome. You're so welcome. I am enjoying the little paranormal ones, I'm not gonna lie.
Mm-hmm.
They're kind of fun.
Yeah.
If you don't think about the fact that, like, people died.
Yeah.
You don't think about it. You just distance yourself and you're like, whoa, a ghost. Like, then it's fun. Then it's cute. It's like, oh my god, a haunting.
So just at the MCR concert.
Exactly. Ghosts, but no history.
Yeah.
Yeah. Alrighty. Do you want to change the subject for us?
Sure. It is my, like, midterms week.
Gross.
So I'm just kind of struggling on through here.
I'm so sorry.
Nah, it's all good. Because then I get my spring break next week. So.
I'm a little bit jealous.
Nice. I do think I'm going to have to do a lot of work during it, but...
Do you have to... Wait. Do you have, like, stuff to do during spring break? That seems so wrong.
I have, like, an essay that's due the week after spring break, and then another essay that's due, like, end of the month, I'm pretty sure, but I think I'm just going to do it during spring break because I'm, like, so busy while classes are going, you know?
They hate you.
Yeah.
See, I say that to you, but during my, like, supposed reading week, I had my exam. So they said, you don't deserve a reading week.
No. And why? Yeah. You know?
So rude, honestly.
Yeah. But fourth year. Well, yeah, I was going to say it's the last semester, but not for you.
It's fine. Don't worry about it. Further education! Woo!
Oh, yeah.
I love it.
But yeah, that's it for me. Just crazy how I'm somehow halfway through my last semester.
I'm a little bit jealous, low-key, that you're not going to have to do any more school after this. Because I would like to be done.
Well, honestly, who knows? Bad. I feel like every job now requires, like, a master's degree, so.
You're so right. I know.
Who knows? But
it really sucks. 0 out of 10.
Yeah. But yeah, that is it for me. Do you have any life updates?
I wish I did. Oh, my God. I started rewatching White Collar.
Oh.
I was in the mood. I don't know if I was telling you about this or not. I've been trying to find, there was this one episode of White Collar where there's, like, a jewelry heist or something like that, and they need to, like, stall this authenticator of the jewel. So Neil teaches Peter these, like, tricks and how to deceive someone into, like, looking at the certain colors of diamonds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you were telling me about that.
Yeah, so I was telling my mom about this, and she found the episode for me.
Oh.
So I fulfilled my goal of watching it.
I'm so happy.
And me too. I think it worked out. I was really vibing. I was like, great, like, I'm good now. But then the problem was that the episode is, like, I think it was, like, in season 3 or something like that. So then I just, like, continued watching, and now I'm, like, almost done with it. But, like, I haven't seen the first 2 seasons again.
You just gotta, like, loop back around, you know?
Yeah, I really do. I think I have to. Because I'm, like, I know what happens at the end, but, like, I missed the beginning, you know?
Yeah, the beginning is much better than the end.
Like, I should have just watched that episode and then gone back to the beginning, but I just, like, clicked next episode and here we are.
Honestly, fair enough. It's so much easier to just click next episode, you know?
It really is. I just wish it knew what I wanted, you know? Like, I just wish that it knew that I wanted to watch that episode and then go back to the beginning.
Yeah. They should, whatever platform it's on, just a mind reading, you know, a little.
Disney Plus, absolutely Disney Plus, should do that. Mm-hmm. I feel like they have the technology for it in the first place, so.
Be a little scary.
Yeah, but it would make my life easier.
Anyway,
that is my life update.
I'm almost at the point in Supernatural where Cass comes in, so you might have to pause that rewatch so you can join me in the Supernatural rewatch, so.
Okay, I think I might, because I do like that season.
Perfect.
It's season 3, right?
Season 4.
Season 4?
Yeah, it is season 4. Google is right.
Oh, why did I really thought it was season 3. I was like, oh, 2 seasons without Cass.
Yeah, because spoiler alert, if anyone hasn't seen season 3 of Supernatural by now somehow, it's because he comes in when, like, Dean goes to hell, you know, and then he pulls him
yes.
back.
Yes. Yeah, I do remember you saying, because he made that stupid deal to live for
stupid
a year.
Stupid deal.
And then he went to hell.
Yeah.
And then Cass raised him from perdition or whatever.
Yeah.
People say that they aren't in love.
Thank you.
Let me know when you get there, because I low-key will actually start watching Supernatural again with you.
Oh my god, yay, I will.
Perfect.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, that is my life update.
Nice.
Do you have anything else that you want to share?
I do not.
All right, do you want to spiel us out?
Yeah. So you can find us on Instagram at Grimm Podcast. You can follow us, like our photos, DM us, and from our profile, there's a button to email us. You can email us at thegrimmpodcast@gmail.com. You can send us thoughts on stories we have covered, stories you want us to cover, or life updates of your own. We also have a Twitter, which is Podcast Grimm, and a Facebook, which is Grimm Podcast. And other than that, just leave us a good review and tell your friends and family about us.
Yeah, and we will see you guys next week.
Yeah.
I don't know what we're going to talk about, but we'll talk about something.
But we'll be here.
I procrastinate, and that's just how it's going to be. But until then, stay safe out there, you guys.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye.